Welcome to the Bitches Be Brave podcast. We know how difficult and crazy it can be to juggle family, career, and not to mention make time for yourself as a busy working mom.
So it's time to get inspired and gain the tools to create a life you love. We are your hosts, Bev Steele
and Heather Hobbs.
Join us as together we motivate, inspire, and gain tools to thrive in all areas of life. Let's go.
Welcome back to this episode of Bitches Be Brave. And on today's episode, we interview Heather Chauvain, who is a thought leader on women and parenting and leadership. And so much of what we talk about on here every day. And her story is very inspiring. She's been through so much. And I think it's amazing what she does now and how much she inspires others. And you know, we've talked about it so much before, but just like the pressure that we put on ourselves as moms and to be so great at everything.
Yeah, I know we've had a few interviews here recently, and it just resonated with me that why is it that we always have to put everything into two buckets? We're either good or we're bad. Like I'm a good mom or I'm a bad mom, or I was a bad mom today, or I ate good, I ate bad. Mm-hmm. We need another word.
Yeah, but what? Because we don't want to be mediocre. We don't want to be okay. No. Or fine. I always put those just as bad as bad, right? It's to me.
Right. But it's not realistic to be great all the time, right? Or what? I think there needs to be something else that defines it. And I know that we know that with any goal or any dream, things are going to ebb and flow. Maybe that's it. I ebb today. I flowed today.
Is it an ebb or is it a flow day?
It was an ebb. I ebbed. But you know, after an ebb always comes a flow. But after a good doesn't always come a bad, or it does. But after a bad, does a good come? I like it. Okay, that's it. Ebb and flow.
I mean, you could have so many great things, right? You could do so many great things, but I think what we do is when we stumble, when we have that obstacle, when we do something that we aren't proud of, like for instance, we lose our patience with our kids, or, you know, we ate that entire pint of ice cream or whatever, we just like shame ourselves. There's this shaming effect that we do, and we just put ourselves right back. Like we don't count the 80% of the goodness that we do. And I think that is so much of the guilt that women have and carry around with them, is like, we don't focus on the majority of the great things that we do every day, but we punish ourselves and shame ourselves over the small hiccups that we have in life.
Yeah. And it also speaks to what we discuss on this podcast about when you do have success, maybe when you are in that good bucket, how you, then it's almost scary, right? How do I stay in this bucket? And you just flop back over to the bad bucket.
You end up sabotaging yourself anyway, because you've been so freaked out that this is, you know, there's no way I can sustain this. This isn't going to last. I don't even deserve to do this. And we end up sabotaging it.
I mean, this has been the great, great thing. The flow thing of this podcast is it's definitely put a mirror up to myself on what I do when I set a goal. And it's been enlightening. You know, I can be on a great path and then I can watch myself. It's like an out of body experience. I'm like, here she goes again. She's going to be bad because I'm afraid of success. I've just decided.
That's the reason.
Yes, in any goal, I can't be too great.
Oh my gosh! Well, so, and I hope
others can relate.
Well, I think what I love about Heather's story, and when you guys are going to love this interview with her, is because she's real, right? And we talk about the importance of coming back and putting ourselves first, but recognizing when you get to that point, recognizing when you're starting to feel those self-sabotaging thoughts that come into your head, and saying, okay, so let's just sit with this for a bit. Like, let me just get content and comfortable with this and move forward, and just not taking on all that guilt and that stress, because everything comes back to us, and how we feel and how we treat ourselves allows us to be that much better to everybody else.
Yeah. Yep. I loved her suggestion. When that happens, you just kind of put it on simmer. You don't have to move forward really, really fast. Maybe you just stay in, you know, a holding pattern for a little while until you can move yourself forward.
Well, I think the biggest thing too is that we hear, like, there's no attaining this like perfect place. You know, I mean, I love our platform. We talk a lot about just giving a voice to women and men as well, but women about, you know, that life is tough and that it's okay. And there's no, even though we talk about this and we are passionate about sharing what we've learned, I mean, I certainly am at no point in time where I'm like, yes, I have like nailed this every single day. I mean, I am still a disaster every single day, but just always working to regroup and move forward.
But it does shock me sometimes, because I'll be like, oh my gosh, I love my life. Everything's great. And then boom, yeah. 24 hours later, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm such a failure. You know, you can just move like that. I don't know. Maybe there's a medical word for my condition.
Bipolar.
Exactly. I'm not.
You're not. Known you long enough. No, I, you know, there's so many things too. There's hormones and sleep and for God's sakes, our kids and husbands and everyone's been home right now. And it's not easy.
No, but I feel better. Laughter is the best medicine.
It is. Which is why I miss you, and we need to not be so socially distant. I've been looking at Bev through Zoom for months now, and yeah, we need to connect. I think connection is key.
Yep, I agree. All right. Well, I think you're going to love this interview. So here we go.
Hey guys, we're just taking a quick break to tell you about an amazing new wine that we just discovered. You guys know that nobody loves a glass of wine more than we do. But when we learned what is actually in the wine that we were drinking, we were shocked. No wonder we were getting headaches, brain fog, and having trouble sleeping.
That's right, Heather, but then we discovered Dry Farm Wines. Dry Farm Wines are organically crafted, unprocessed wine free of sugar, additives, and lower in alcohol. These wines are amazing, and they're better for our bodies and our planet. Now we can enjoy the pleasure and euphoria of wine without the negative effects of higher alcohol consumption.
To find out where you can try these amazing wines and get a special Bitches Be Brave discount, click on the link in our show notes below. Welcome. We are here today with Heather Chauvin, who's been named the next generation's thought leader in parenting and women's leadership. Her mission is to crack women open in their deepest potential and lead the life their soul craves. She reaches thousands of readers worldwide and leads innovative retreats and coaching programs that teach women to succeed in their most sacred work in parenting and business. Heather is the creator of the new and noteworthy podcast, Mom is in Control, and has been featured on the OWN Network, Huffington Post, TV outlets, and others. Through her courageous rewrite initiative, Heather has given voice to many humans who have courageously taken inspired action towards creating a life that they're proud of. With her wit and wisdom, Heather inspires a global community of women to take back control of how they want to lead, work, play, and parent. Heather, we're so excited to have you on our podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always nice. Well, we have another Heather and Bev, but every time I meet another Heather, there's always this like special sauce. You're like, I get you. Because you don't meet any of them. So Bev, you have two magical people with you.
Two magical Heathers.
I honestly have never met a Heather I didn't like. So now I know why.
Well, we are so excited, and your story is amazing. I know, I've heard your TED talk, and you've got your amazing podcast, but I'd love for you to tell our listeners who might not be familiar with your story. How did you get here, and tell us about, you know, just the transformation that you've had?
Yeah. So every time I'm asked this question, I always think about, I don't know, like something else comes up, but it's always introduced as you have this incredible story. And when you're in it, it doesn't feel so incredible, right? Like you're in it, you're like, this sucks. My life is, it's so uncomfortable and hard. And am I going to make it through? And so being on the other side is kind of like seeing that the difficult, uncomfortable things that we go through are perceived to be incredible to other people, and that's what it makes you. So I'm a mother of three, and it's interesting because when you think of all of the hats and roles that we play, people are like, who are you? What is that? And I think that's part of the journey, is figuring out who you are beyond your roles. So motherhood, I have three boys, they're 15, 10, and 7. I used to be a social worker, and 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer that literally almost ended my life. But all of these things simultaneously kind of created, well, who I am today, and the message, and the book that I'm writing, and the podcast. But motherhood woke me up. Motherhood was the straw that broke the camel's back. I actually became a mom when I was 18. I was a young mom. And I just remember looking at my son thinking, like, not this. Like, I need to become the person that I most desire him to be. And previous to that, I was very depressed, very, like, didn't know what my purpose was. And so motherhood gave me the sense of purpose, and that's what gave me the kick in the pants. But it wasn't sustainable to have motherhood as my purpose, my sense of purpose in the world. And so as I carried out through, like, becoming and breaking, like, you know, I would always say I never wanted to become a statistic, and just saying, I'll show you. Everything was fueled by anger and by fear. Like, oh, I don't want my children to feel this way. I never want him to experience this. And, you know, those coping strategies work for so long until they stop working. And then when I became all these things and I started checking off the boxes like society tells you to do, and I did it a little bit backwards, but I got my shit together and I kept going. I was like, okay, get a university degree. Never took a university course in high school. Figured my way out through the system. Got that. Check, got that box, got married, check, got that box to a decent man. I was like, oh, you're the opposite of what I would normally go for. Like, you're kind to me. You're not a drug addict. Like, let's do that. Learning to be loved by somebody. That took a while. I always joke with my husband. He's like, you started loving me like last week, and we've been married for over 10 years. But man, those walls are thick, right? Walls are thick. So I'm checking all these boxes off, and what's fueling me is anger and fear. I'm buying into the cultural belief that if you're not hustling, if you're not go, 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 like, I'm literally getting the awards for being super mom. And at this time, 6 years ago, you know, breastfeeding our youngest, he was a year old, sitting in front of my computer, doing interviews, building my online business, because I did transition from my agency social work job, because I just had this ache and desire, like, I can't be here for 30 years. And that thought really scared me too. So I just kept going and going and going. And 6 years ago, I embodied the belief that when I say self-care is selfish, a lot of women will nod their heads and say that. But really what I embodied was, I don't matter in the world. And my sole existence is to be a mother and provide for my children. And because I embodied that, I never ate, I never moved my body, I never considered my needs. I judged every single human that I witnessed that looked happy, that had abundance. Like, I just didn't understand it. And then when I was diagnosed, my abdomen was swollen. I talk about this in the TEDx talk. My abdomen was swollen, and I thought, oh, I have like a gluten allergy or something. So I go to the doctor, and still believing I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the doctor. And so all of these beliefs were challenged when they did blood work and a CT on my abdomen in the emergency room, like, not even like on the spot. They're like, Heather, you have cancer. We just have no idea what kind, but your age, and like, there's these tumors all over your abdomen. Like, look at this. Like, we thought you were pregnant when you came in here. Like, what is wrong with you? And it was this internal confirmation. Like I knew I was sick and I was running away from it and I couldn't run anymore. And I just had to stop and listen and let my life crumble and build it from scratch and rewire my brain and rewire my sense of worth. And now I feel whole, content, energized, abundant, alive. And I have boundaries with my children and they have boundaries with me. And yeah, I mean, we always have work to do. There's always more to do, but man, the permission to just feel alive was a challenge.
Gosh, while you were talking, it just brought back all of those memories about, you know, even when you first become pregnant, your body is not yours anymore, right? It's all about your baby and feeding yourself right. And then you have that child and your body is then feeding that baby. And then it, you just move yourself right into that place. And really, I think that what you're saying about taking care of yourself, the story of mom's the last one, you know, you'll do everything to get your kids into the doctor, but for some reason to take that time for yourself is, you know, almost a luxury, which cannot happen, obviously. So I think that having an illness like that is almost like likened to a rock bottom where you have to look at things. So for women that are not necessarily, they're feeling exactly how you're talking or not, but not dealing with an illness, how do you help them kind of look at what they're feeling? And I think you put it like, get out of your own way. Because that's really what we do, right? We get in our own ways. How do we get out of our own way and start putting ourselves in a position to love ourselves?
Well, it's really interesting because it's so triggering for people when I say you don't have to live this way. Like being out of it for six, you're going to hear dogs and children, by the way. This is
we have both.
Yes, welcome to life.
They'll probably start talking to each other.
Yeah. Now my husband's yelling at the dog. I'll just wait for a child to come knocking on the door. Like being out of this for 6 years, the interesting part was I was doing the personal development work previous to getting sick. But my personal development looked like drinking a green smoothie once in a while and going to yoga. And because I was quote unquote skinny, meaning, you know, like it's so ridiculous, the BS that we're sold into. People are like, you look so healthy, you're so young. And I'm like, is it healthy to have tumors growing around your organs? Like, oh, because I'm, you know, literally losing weight because cancer is like growing in my body. And people are like, you look good. And I'm like,
how do you lose weight?
Like, that's such a, how did I lose weight? It's called lymphoma. Yeah. Like, ridiculous. Just redefining, like really rewiring our brain. But there's two types of women that I will attract. The one is the woman who's had that breakdown in her life, that not this moment, and her tolerance for non-negotiables. Like, I will no longer feel like this. I will never yell again. I am done. You know, she had that freak out, you know, back in the corner moment. And then I have a woman who is inspired to like live more and oftentimes gets that challenge. Like I have a client right now who I just love her to pieces and she lights up a room and she is such a leader. And she says, I want to be the motivational speaker that's never had like my rock bottom. And I'm like, the world needs you because it gives you permission to go, why do I have to get cancer in order to write a book? Why do I have to get all these things in order to, you know, be whatever? And that's why when I meet people who are like, what happened to you? And they're like, nothing. I was like done with misery. And I'm like, all you have to do is give yourself permission to want what you want and to get out of your own way. But here's the way that I have to reverse engineer it in my mind. I don't even believe 99% of the BS that is out there. And so when people say, you know, self-care is not manicures, pedicures. Sometimes it's not even a walk. Like self-care could literally be a divorce. Self-care could be saying, no, I'm not babysitting your children anymore. Like stop dropping them off at my house. No mom, no dad. I'm not doing this. Self-care could just be putting your phone away and not responding to text messages immediately or those emails. Self-care in my business has been, you know, no, I'm not going to provide that level of program. I don't want to. It doesn't light me up. I don't want to do that anymore. But here is a leader that goes and talks about this. It's really honoring what your soul is craving. And if your soul is craving to get a haircut, to shave your head, to get extensions, to get eyelashes, like do whatever the fuck you want. And in order to step into that energy and to embody it, that's vulnerable. That is brave. And that takes courage. And you're going to have the comments and you're going to have the feedback and you're going to have all of that. But I'm telling you right now, the better you give yourself, like the more permission you give yourself to feel good, that's when everything starts coming to you. And you do not have to wait until your children are grown or out of the home. You could literally, you know, you can have a little infant right now. You can have no children. You deserve, like, your purpose on this earth is to feel good. It is not complicated. You don't have to like go search and say, what is my purpose? What's my purpose? You have to start asking yourself, what makes me feel good and alive? And if you have no idea what that is, start with a green smoothie and then keep asking yourself, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And challenge yourself to receive the good feelings.
I could not agree more. I have told this story a couple times about how, you know, I went through just a while back, I mean, just frustrated in almost every aspect of my life. And the therapist at the time had told me that, like, focus on you. And I was like, I can do that, because that was a lot easier than trying to fix a marriage and fix, you know, everything else going on. And so, and it was amazing. Like the moment you start to do that, the moment you just kind of put yourself first and say, I want to just focus on being living, right? And I have heard you say this before, like living and not just surviving this human experience. And that is, once you start doing that, you start attracting so much more. You start attracting positivity, you start attracting good things, you start attracting love, you start attracting the things that you have been like building a wall about. So I love that.
Can I just add to that?
Yeah, please.
How like doing that may feel selfish. You may feel guilty. You may be like, I can't. But on the other side of that, you realize you are being a huge, you're doing the world a service by doing that. And I've been thinking a lot about that in 2020. It's been pretty much a shit show for like the first 6 months. And who knows what the next 6 months, people are just sitting, crossing their fingers, like waiting for this to blow over. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Or people, oh, it's summertime now, I'll wait till the fall. And I'm like, there's not going to be a perfect moment or a perfect time to do this work. It's a lifestyle and it's a sustainability consistency thing. Like this is a 365 day a year commitment. It's not little 30 day sprints. Like, you know, if you're trying to shove all the food in your mouth at once, you're going to choke. So like, let's just take little bites every day. But when I get up in the morning and I'm like doing these things, whether it's working out or eating a meal, like I remember part of my journey was cutting back on coffee because it gave me anxiety. And when I didn't just focus on the coffee, but I focused on how my behavior when I was anxious affected my parenting, I was now realizing that cutting out coffee wasn't just about me. Like I'm actually changing a generational pattern in my parenting because I cut out coffee, because I'm no longer verbally abusing my children because I'm not anxious. And I was learning how to manage my own anxiety. Like that was one action step. So when I'm focusing on myself and I'm making it so egotistical about my action steps, it's all about me. But when I focus on the bigger why of my actions, you know, how is making more money going to benefit you? How is getting out of debt going to benefit you? How is feeling amazing in your mind and your body going to benefit the world? And when I do that, oh my gosh, everything changes. It's not about you anymore. You're the vehicle.
So why is it so scary then, right? So, you know, you want, it sounds like, you know, course you want to do what makes you happy. And of course you want to follow your passion. And of course you don't want to be anxious with your kids, but why? And I think it goes back to consistency, right? I'll speak for myself. I can do really, really great in any goal that I have, and almost success breeds more fear for me. I am like, oh my gosh, will I be able to sustain this fitness routine I'm doing? Or, you know, gosh, our podcast is doing great. Oh my gosh. You know, then I'm almost more scared. Mm-hmm. So why is there so much fear in getting the things that we really know that we want and that will make us happy and that we're passionate about?
Yeah, I love this question. And I'm going to come from my own experience of that, because I think when you're practicing what you preach and you're experiencing that and you're learning from others, I mean, there's many theories out there, but I almost find the closer you get to, I'll call alignment or purpose, like the closer you get to becoming that person that you desire, like almost manifesting what you want, Brené Brown calls it foreboding joy. Like you're getting so close that joy is actually the most vulnerable emotion. Like it's the most vulnerable thing. So you're getting close to, it's like watching your children sleep and you're like, oh, you're so precious. What if something bad happens? Like she uses that example, and to feel joy is vulnerable. So I think that's part of it. And then, you know, when I'm interviewing people and learning about this, trauma is a real thing. And for women, like we've been oppressed for generations. And for us to actually stand in our light, to stand in our power, like that is a revolution. And it's interesting to me because I'm reading other books, and, you know, Glennon Doyle's book is very popular right now, Untamed. And as I'm reading this book, like it's so juicy, but I'm like, why is this so revolutionary to feel good? And for her to say, I am done people pleasing. And I, you know, someone's knocking at my door and I'm like, I didn't invite you over. I'm not answering the door. Right. And meanwhile, I'm like extremely introverted. People think I'm extroverted because I, you know, the personality, but I'm like, dang, it's actually painful. Like post COVID, I'll go to people's houses. I'm like, okay, I've had 5 minutes of human interaction. Like I'm good. But reading some of that, it gave me permission to say, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to do that too. So I'm like, why is it revolutionary for women to feel good? And when we look back in history, it's like, shh, don't talk. Don't talk. Like you were just here to do this and to serve and receiving. We don't do that. So it's like revolutionary to receive. So it's almost like we're stretching that capacity. So now I know that every time I'm feeling good and I'm feeling like it's almost like you're managing that abundance of feeling good, I will step into it and then I can feel the sabotage coming. I'm like, just stay here for a little bit. Stay here, maintain those habits until you've like stretched into that, and then start adding more. But just watch yourself. Watch how someone will say, oh, must be nice. And all of a sudden you're like going down the rabbit hole in your mind. So I'm like, ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm not going to have that person around me right now because I'm in a vulnerable state, but I'm determined to hang on to this.
You know, you talk about the sabotage, but I think so many times, and we think about the roles and what society has told us we are supposed to be, right? We've talked about this, Bev and I, before, where it's like we grew up with moms who were stay-at-home moms. And so that is what you end up, you know, holding yourself against. You hold yourself to the standard of, this is the kind of mom I have to be, but yet my mom didn't work and I have a career. And so it's, you're constantly, I think, fighting this battle of what you think you're supposed to be and not feeling good enough or feeling like you shouldn't be doing that. And so, you know, you talk about even just writing the book, or when you start to self-sabotage because of a comment that somebody makes because you feel like you're not good enough, or, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not what a good mother would do, or a good, you know, career person. So how do you handle when you are starting to feel overwhelmed or you're feeling like you're getting off balance and it's keeping you from what you want to do?
Oh, such a good question. first of all, like backing up a little bit to the stay at home mom stuff and, you know, figuring out like who the world wants you to be. I think I'm trying to figure out, you know, being a coach and being in that world, like you get to see behind closed doors a lot. And what you see out there in the world of like, yay, I'm a stay at home mom and I have, me and my child have matching outfits and life is perfect. And then you're hearing about what's really happening and you see the disconnect, right? The cognitive dissonance around the perception and reality. And that I think is doing way more harm than good to people, because I think, and that's why I started the podcast. I'm like, hello, am I the only one out there who is miserable? And I realized that actually having a career was beneficial for my parenting, because that ache and desire inside of me was serving me, and I was just so much nicer to my children. And I always tell people, and I feel like I'm not answering your question, but I'm just going to go on this tangent of where it's going. I always tell people, like, if you are, because then there's kind of like this shaming of if you are a stay-at-home mom, like, is that not enough? And I'm like, listen, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you are rocking that role and you are so soul fulfilled, that is what you are supposed to do. You will not be triggered by other people who make comments. Like, you know, you're living in alignment when you're not triggered. So how do I deal with the stories of like not feeling guilty? I think that's what you originally said to me. I don't know where it was along the road, but I started telling myself, Heather, you are a bitch when you are not happy. You are mean. You are projecting. You are angry. And man, your children will, you make your kids cry when you are out of alignment. And so please feed your soul. And if your soul means building this career and feeding your ambition and having somebody else cook and clean and do all these things, like, be who you are. That is how, that's what your children need. And I had to keep telling myself that over and over and over again from evidence. Like, I want to work. I want to make an impact. I want to travel. And, you know, we can do this together. For so long, I think it's been 2 or 3 years, my husband has been like a stay-at-home dad. And when he started, he actually left his job. So I just started making more money. And I was like, listen, I want to travel as a family. Like, I don't want you to be home because you have this 9 to 5 and I'm taking the kids and we're going somewhere, because I'm willing to do that if you stay home. And so now he's such a great support. Like, he doesn't need to be the face of a brand. He doesn't need to be that. And I tried to control him and to push him and be like, start this, do this, do this. And then when I backed off and he was like, Heather, this is me. I'm like, I don't understand you. Like, I don't understand how you are not as ambitious as me. Yeah. But I just realized when we are all in our place, regardless. And if he was as ambitious as me, I told him like we would have somebody in our home to help. But you just gotta honor yourself in order to feel good in the world. And when you do, you stop buying into everyone else's illusion of who you need to be.
You know, I couldn't agree more, because I too am in a similar situation where years ago, my husband, we had lost our nanny, and my husband's like, I'll stay home. And, you know, I too was making more, and it just was like, okay, at that point I had to keep going. He's like, I can't just go out and get a job and make what you make. And it was tough, because it was so against what I had thought or envisioned or thought was like the normal thing. But in the end, you look back and go, okay, everything is like the way it should be. Cause my husband's 20 times more patient than I am with my kids. He's much better at sitting down and doing homework and those types of things. And so I think it's amazing that, you know, you just have to own it and say, this is what it is. And it might not be what we thought it was going to be, but it has a new direction.
And to give yourself permission, like, I will hear people who will say, well, I don't have that support, or my husband isn't that person. I'm like, what do you need then? Create what you need. Like, honestly, cultivate what you need in your life. And if you don't have that traditional support, then put that into your business plan, put that into your life plan. If you don't have family around and you want that community, you're going to have to pay for it. And in all honesty, sometimes the quote unquote free childcare is the shittiest childcare possible. And you're looking at your parents like, please don't help. Please stop. You're causing me way more stress. Or, you know, asking it, there's seasons for everything. But I think when we get out of this victim martyr mode and start asking ourselves, what do I need? Okay. I'm going to put all the fear of judgment aside. I'm going to put all my crap, you know, hide that in a little closet. If I'm being honest, what do I need? Okay. How can I make that happen? It doesn't happen overnight, but when you have that focus, we're literally changing the next generation and how they show up in the world. And if we were men, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Why is it okay for them to go out and fulfill their dreams and desires and to do whatever they want on the weekend and spend all this money, but we can't? Who put that on us? And why are we still allowing that narrative to be our norm?
Yeah. And don't you think when we're in a place where we're saying, well, if I had that, or I can't do it because of that, that we're just not ready. You're not sick and tired of being sick and tired yet, because you're just kind of, you're getting something out of not making a change for sure.
I always ask women, they'll send me private messages on Instagram. They'll be like, that was so good, blah, blah, blah. And they'll tell me their story. And I typically respond with, and how is that serving you? And the ones that are aware and ready to do the work will say, oh man, it's so protective. It's allowing me to stay in my little bubble. And secretly they're like, I'm using my children to play safe because the world is allowing me to do that. It's allowing me to use my children as like my shield and my scapegoat. Oh, I'm a mom. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And I love talking to people. Like, I'm always like searching for these people, or when I find these women, you know, I had this one colleague and I met her in like a group, and she's like, yeah, I was a single mom. She was older. Kids were like in their 30s or something. And I started my business working 4 hours a week. I outsourced like a queen and I had the greatest team. And she goes, I just stayed with my daughter and I woke up early and I got things done and I worked for a few hours. I'm like, how did you adopt that mindset and that belief system? She's like, because my mother was the complete opposite and I swore I would never be like her. And I was like, it's that determination to just, what do you want to be? How do you want to feel? And giving yourself permission to step into that. And she's like, yeah, I made millions of dollars, single mom. And I'm like, I love that. Instead of using the narrative of like, I can't because.
Gosh, I know. I mean, you have been such a voice. You have such a big platform. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners where they can find your podcast and your website and all the great things that you're doing right now.
Yeah, so it's my name, Heather Chauvin. Last name is spelled Chauvin. So heatherchauvin.com. You can find me on Instagram under my name. I think it's Heather. Well, I know it's Heather Chauvin _. The podcast is called Mom is in Control, and you can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. I hang out on the podcast a lot and Instagram, and I just keep talking. I'm always like, what's on my heart? I love having those conversations and helping women crack open to their deepest potential.
I love it. And I love the name of your podcast, Mom is in Control. That's where we really want to be, right?
Mm-hmm. And that can go in so many directions. People are like, oh yeah, I wish I was in control. I'm like, well, the point is to not be controlling. It's to surrender to what is and to step into that. So it's really your definition of what you want that to look like.
Exactly. You're driving the bus, sister.
Thank you.
So Heather, one of the questions we always ask our guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
To give yourself permission to want what you want and to become whoever you want to become. Apparently that is a brave and courageous act, to be yourself.
Well, Heather, thank you so much. This has been so amazing talking with you. And we love to have you on again. So thank you for sharing your story and for inspiring so many.
Thank you. I love this.
Thanks.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I'd like to ask you, if you did, if you could please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and a 5-star rating, I hope. I really would like to get this podcast out to more women, supporting women, and I can't do it without your help. Thanks so much, and be brave.